Well, good evening. If you would turn again, once again, in your Bibles to James. We will continue in James chapter 3. One time years ago, the king of Hungary found himself depressed and unhappy. He sent for his brother, a good-natured but rather indifferent fellow, the prince. The king said to him, "I am a great sinner. I fear to meet God." But the prince only laughed at him. This didn't help the king's disposition any at all. Though he was a believer, the king had gotten a glimpse of his guilt for the way he'd been living lately. And he seriously wanted help. In those days, it was customary if the executioner sounded a trumpet before a man's door at any hour, it was a signal that he was to be led to his execution. The king sent the executioner in the dead of night to sound the fateful blast at his brother's door. The prince realized with horror what was happening. Quickly dressing, he stepped to the door and was seized immediately by the executioner and dragged pale and trembling into the king's presence. In agony of terror, he fell on his knees before his brother and begged to know how he had offended him. "My brother," answered the king, "if the sight of a human executioner is so terrible to you, shall not I, having grievously offended God, fear to be brought before him, before the judgment seat of Christ?" I don't know what it was, but maybe the prince got a little too comfortable with his king. But somewhere along the way, he stopped fearing. And as we read in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. I think a lot of the problems that we see today, clearly we went through we went through them on Sunday, and we spoke about earthly wisdom. And you have to think about what brings us to that state of earthly wisdom, of being so self-absorbed and so jealous and bitter jealousy. And what brings us to that? And the most wise man that ever walked the face of the planet, arguably, was Solomon, and he said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Somewhere along the way, we have lost that fear. Let's listen to some more words from Solomon as we start our night. Remember, James was called, the book of James is called the Proverbs of the New Testament. And we know that Solomon, again, the wisest man to walk the face of the earth, wrote Proverbs. But let's listen to some of his words. In Proverbs 2, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding," there are those two words, wisdom and understanding. Remember, James says, "Who is wise and understanding among you?" "Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search it for it as hidden treasure. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the ways of his saints. Then you will understand the righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil. Men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Proverbs 3:5-7 and then 13. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Blessed, verse 13 says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. There we go again, wisdom and understanding. Where did Solomon get his wisdom? Yeah, from God. It wasn't a trick question. Yeah, so, not a trick question. Wisdom is from God. We learned that earlier in James as well. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, right? But wisdom was directly given to Solomon by God at Gibeon in 1 Kings 3. He had a dream, if you remember. And God spoke to him in a dream and said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "Give your servant understanding of mine to lead your people." And it says, right after that, it says, "It pleased the Lord to do so." It pleased the Lord to do so. And it will please the Lord to do so today. I think of all the times I fail to ask the Lord for wisdom. All the times that I lay upon my bed awake because of some trouble in my life. That I know the right answer to. And I fail to look to heaven from the giver of all good gifts and say, please, please, God, give me wisdom. Please, God, give me understanding. I need you. And sometimes I think I know the word of God good enough that I just... Yes, wisdom comes from the word of God, but he wants us to show our dependence on him. Brothers and sisters, that's why we're here tonight. And maybe, just maybe, sometimes as we're sitting here tonight, these nights, these Wednesday nights when it's all about prayer, maybe one of us should get up and say, Lord God, Maker of heaven and earth, please, please give us wisdom to go through what we are going through, to navigate the waters of today. Lord God, please give us discernment. Give us understanding. Lord God, give us as leaders wisdom to lead the people. Let me ask you this. How did Solomon know what to ask for? Because he answers very quickly. And again, this isn't a dream, so I'm not exactly sure how this all worked out. But in his mind, in the depths of his conscience, he knew what to ask for. How did he know what to ask for? Let me read Proverbs 4, 3 through 5, which says, When I was a son, again, Proverbs Solomon's talking to his son, but then he says in Proverbs 4, 3 through 5, he says, when I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast to my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget, and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Brothers and sisters, for all of David's flaws, the Lord still looked at him as a man after his own heart. What a wise father. My son, get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and don't turn away from the words of my mouth. And then I think, how much do I fail as a father? How much do I fail as a father when again, the Lord, the words of James, one of my favorite books of all time. I love the book of James, even though it's so hurtful and convicting. I think about how often I fail as a father because I don't look up to the one who all good gifts come from and say, Lord, please give me wisdom. How am I supposed to raise children in this godless world? Brothers and sisters, it's the only way our children will make it. If we know this to be true, it's the only way our children will make it through this godless world. It isn't getting any better. I said on Sunday that all the liberal education in the world has not solved our social or physical or spiritual problems. You can throw education at everything. Teenage pregnancy, whatever. You know, you can educate till you're blue in the face and it didn't solve the issue. Parents and grandparents, we have to look to God. We have to look to God for wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, does anyone lack wisdom here tonight? I'll be the first one to raise my hand. Of course I do. Of course we do. We lack wisdom. Even though we have the scriptures right here before us, again, we are promised wisdom as we look at the scriptures, as we read them. But clearly, we're not in them enough. And we still have to show, like I said before, we still have to show our dependence on the one who gives the wisdom, the one who wrote the book. Let's just ask the Lord for the rest of our time just to lead God and direct us. Father, again, we do thank you for the night. We thank you for just the time that we have. Just a few questions to review tonight, Lord. Father, I just pray that we would, Lord, just take this seriously. How do we get wisdom? How do we get insight? How do we get understanding to live this life? But not only just to live it, but live it pleasing, Lord, unto you. Isn't that the goal? How do we live it so that we, as Paul would tell Timothy, to train ourselves for godliness, to be more Christ-like? He's our example. This is the one that we're striving for, the one that we want to be like. And yet, how often do we fail to just ask for the wisdom to be like him? To live lives according to your word, to navigate the issues and troubles and trials of life. Oh, Father, please, please, lead God and direct us, Lord. Show us thy ways. Teach us your paths, Lord. It's in your name we pray. So in the beginning of our passage, James says, "Who is wise and understanding among you?" Again, those two words. "By his good conduct, let him show his works in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure and then peaceable and gentle and open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Can anyone remember who's the who that we're talking about here? Who's the who? In verse 1, who is wise and understanding among you? Well, yeah, we said clearly, if you took the passage in context, close context, that yes, verse 1 speaks of the teachers, right? I just lost my place here. Yeah, verse 1 speaks, let not many of you be among you be teachers. But did we limit it to that? Are we limiting to what James's words here, again, inspired by the Holy Spirit? Are we limiting to just the teachers? Who are we talking to? Yeah, so we said that, of course, he would be talking to his believing audience, right? And as he goes on in these warnings in James, he's talking to not only the believer to, again, test the genuineness of your faith, but he's talking to the professing believer to test truly the genuineness of their faith. Do you know the God that you claim? Do you truly know him? And I used an illustration from Timothy of the, you know, the characteristics or qualifications of elders and deacons. Again, their qualifications and characteristics of those roles that we see for the New Testament church. But these are qualifications and characteristics of all the men that should that claim to know God should have. This is the basics. This is the baseline. Maybe without the idea of apt to be to teach. But so yes, he's talking to, not many of you should become teachers, but he's also talking to his believing and professing audience. Does anyone remember the difference between, we talked about these words multiple times, wise or wisdom and understanding? Does anyone remember the difference between the two? Again, they sound like the same words, right? I mean, wisdom, understanding, knowledge. You know, you throw the word knowledge in there. Again, the word wise in verse 1 is really just speaking about that's the general word for wisdom. You know, having knowledge, good judgment. But that word understanding took on a little bit more there. Again, it speaks about being endowed with knowledge, but it talks more about the experience as well, too. It speaks about the knowledge that an expert would have. Again, the knowledge to be able to what? To do. The skill that a skillful tradesman would have. Again, he has the knowledge to be able to do. That's understanding. And James is very... He's using that word on purpose. He's purposeful here to bring understanding in. When we look at the rest of 13, though, it says, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. What did we say that James is basically saying there in the end of 13? Let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom.
Mm-hmm. But as I've seen in some people that have a lot of education, they don't apply it to their lives. So you got a lot of education rolled around in their brain, doesn't do anybody any good because it's rolled around in their brain. Wisdom is the same way. You can have all kinds of wisdom. You don't apply it to your life and other people, it doesn't do anybody any good.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be seen.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what you just right where you said at the end. Wisdom, James is basically saying wisdom needs to be seen. It needs to be seen. Where else did James talk about this? When else did James say this needs to be seen? Say again? Yeah, right? Remember Dave went over this? Show me your faith, right? Faith without works is dead. Show me your faith by your works. And he's saying in this passage, show me that you truly understand what it is to have wisdom. But you have to show me by, I can't see your heart. You can say all day long, like John just said, I'm smart. You should just, if you only knew how smart I was. And again, wisdom really isn't just about smarts either. Again, that's what the passage is about. You can tell people that you're wise, but we need to show them by our conduct how wise we are. And it's not a haughty wisdom, right? It's in meekness. Do you remember what that... the idea of the meekness was there? Anyone? It's not self-centered. Yeah, do you remember? The meek understands in himself he is nothing, but in God that he is everything. It's a gentle in spirit, humble, not weakness, though. Truly understanding who you are before God. Doesn't seek his own. Yeah, genuine. Doesn't seek his own. And then we, of course, looked at the greatest example of meekness in the scriptures, and that was our Lord Jesus Christ. But as we move on, because I want to just quick hit this, as we move on, we moved on to earthly wisdom first. He wants to give us an idea. Well, what is earthly wisdom? What is earthly wisdom's fruits and effects? But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Does anyone remember what bitter jealousy meant? Yeah. Envy, indignation, anger over what is perceived as unfair. That's not fair. You have money, I don't. That's not fair. Well, we see that today. Everybody's a victim. Does anyone remember what selfish ambition was? I think you're the only one that took notes this week. Dad? Yeah. personal gratification at any cost. But it really deals with positions and positions of influence. And literally, I copied this right out of the Strong's. That phrase literally meant the pursuit of political office by unfair means. It's like we're living. It's kind of amazing how relevant James's words are. Again, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Is the Word of God relevant for us today? Is it sufficient for us today? I mean, guys, this kind of wrote itself in a lot of ways. I mean, I was just watching, just getting these definitions right out of Strong's, or I mean, even going to Webster's and stuff. This is not wisdom that comes down from above. What we see going on all around us, what we are living in today, right where we're at. And again, we could say nothing's new under the sun, right? This is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. This idea of earthly is existing, basically just this idea of what I see around me. What's in my bubble? What's existing upon the earth? Limited to man's thoughts, limited to time, limited to this observable world around me. Man's philosophy. Yeah. Looked up the word what? Okay. Okay. Well, why? But exactly. We're bombarded by lies all day long. We're given a narrative to believe all day long. And it's an elaborate narrative. And we're given it all day long to, I don't care, listen, I didn't get political on Sunday, I'm not going to get political tonight. It doesn't matter, I don't care where you belong, whatever. It doesn't matter. You just look at the world today. I don't care. Democrat, Republican, I don't care. You look at the world today and you are given a narrative. And we are given lies and they are elaborate. And that's exactly what Marilyn's talking about. And we need to get wisdom to navigate it. We need to get discernment to navigate it. And we need to ask the Lord, because these are things that we haven't navigated before. And I got to tell you, I'm saddened. I'm saddened by the church. I'm saddened by the professing church and how they're kind of just eating this stuff up. And we talked a little bit about some of this, you know, this stuff that's been going on. And listen, social justice isn't a new thing. It's just that it's extreme right now. Cancel culture is extreme. All these things are extreme right now. And how do we navigate it? How do we as believers navigate it? And because they're masters. These liars are masters at making it sound good. And Satan is in their ear saying, okay, this is the truth, but I'm going to just tweak it just a little bit, like I said on Sunday, and it's going to be a lie. Well, he doesn't know that. So what is unspiritual mean? Again, earthly, what I can experience around me, my world around me, basically. This wisdom is not, wisdom from God is not earthly. What's the unspiritual? Anyone remember the Greek word for it? Say again? Psychikos, is that how you say it? Psychikos. Yeah. See, this is my Greek philosophy. Yeah. Yeah, it's purely natural and sensual. That's basically the literal translation. Purely natural and sensual. But it's all about me. It's all about self. It's a very selfish mentality and self-improvement. How I can get myself out of this, or you know, what's going to benefit self in this situation. And then the last one was demonic. And demonic is basically proceeding from an evil spirit or devilish. And again, brothers and sisters, I don't understand why we don't talk about it more. This whole idea of spiritual warfare. We are in a war. And people don't like you to even say that to them anymore. We are in a war. The devil hates that we're sitting here tonight. That we pray. That we would ask for wisdom from above. We are in a constant battle. And he's looking for those that he can devour. And he's devouring and devouring and devouring. And he's devouring people that I've thought for years were good, solid believers. That were great apologists. And he's devouring them right up. Right before our eyes. And you have to ask, what went wrong? What went wrong? That one of the greatest apologists I would have called of our time. I've said it before from the pulpit. I almost choke on those words right now. To find out what that man became. What hope do we have? What hope do I have? Brothers and sisters, if that wasn't a wake-up call to those of us that have become teachers, we need God's wisdom. We cannot do it in our own strength. Satan is seeking whom he can devour. And brothers and sisters, I feel like he's winning. When I look around me, I feel like he's winning, and I wonder why. Are we not asking for God's wisdom? Are we not in his word enough? Are we not praying enough? Why is this the smallest meeting of our body? Why do we take for granted the chance to come before Almighty God, the creator of the universe, and bow our heads before the throne of grace and ask him for anything that we desire? Brothers and sisters, we will be devoured by this world. Much greater men than I have been devoured by this world. And I need you guys to pray for those of us that stand before you. I need you guys to pray for wisdom from above for those of us that stand before you. I need you guys to pray for wisdom from above for your children. Why is this the smallest meeting of our body? I don't say that in judgment. I say that upset in my heart. Because when I read these words, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God. How are we going to do it? How are we going to navigate this? We can't. We cannot do it on our own. Don't be cavalier with the adversary. He is strong. But we serve a God that's stronger. And he wants to give us all good things. And I pray as a body that we wake up and realize that. I pray as a body that it means something. It means something to be together. It means something to be gathered together on a Sunday. It means something to be gathered together on a Wednesday. Brothers and sisters, how else are we going to do this? I don't know. But what I do know is that we have this promise. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God. Because the world is going to just give you their selfish ambition, and they're going to give you their bitter jealousy, and they're going to try and eat you up and spit you out for breakfast. And they're going to succeed if you are not in his word, and if you are not on your knees asking for wisdom from above. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits and impartial. Who are we listening to today? Who are we going to listen to? I got pastors that, you know, you're listening to different messages and stuff, pastors telling you that you got to read a certain book so that you understand the culture that you're living in. Baloney. Yeah, I do have to read a certain book. It's called the Bible. Who are we going to listen to today? But maybe better yet, and we kind of close with the same exact thought that we opened with, who are we going to fear? Who are we truly going to fear? What are we going to fear? Coronavirus? Government? Other believers? Or other professing believers? Satan? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I pray that if nothing else was instilled in us just in these short few verses, that is instilled in you tonight. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning. This is where it all begins. We have to ask Him. We have to go to Him. It has to be about Him because He's the only one that can get us through what we're going to go through. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for this time that we've had tonight, Lord. Father, I would just ask that we would take these words tonight from James and take them home and meditate on them. And by meditate, I mean just to continue to regurgitate them throughout the week. Bring them back up, Lord, so we can ponder them, understand them, Lord. What does it mean to have wisdom and understanding? What does it mean to have wisdom from above, to have true godly wisdom, Lord? Lord, we need it. We need it in a bad way, Father, and we understand that we only will get it from you and your word. And Lord, I just pray that you would instill that on our hearts. If nothing else, please, Lord, instill this on our hearts, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it's in your precious and your worthy name we do pray these things. Amen.